is shifting. Brother, I just felt like when you're walking around with the camera, I felt like the Lord said, you're about to capture what people have never captured on film before. That the Lord has anointed you to see what others can't see. He's given you an eye. And I saw we talk about the mind's eye, or we talk about the eyes of the Spirit, but I saw the eyes of God, I saw you looking from the heart of God. And I just feel like the Lord has given you the lens of love. And I know what you're doing isn't the only thing you're doing, but I just felt like the Lord said that you almost feel like you're doing this part of it by default. Somebody needed to do it, but I felt like the Lord said, you're about to find a passion for documentation. That you're about to document miracles. You're about to document glory stories. And I just feel like there's something that you're about to find in this next season. And the next 3 months for you are going to be nothing short of miraculous. And I felt like the Lord said that He's about to cause there to be, bring you into a season of unpacking. It's almost like there's always this place of transition, and the suitcase is always packed. But I felt like the Lord said that I'm going to begin to bring you into places of habitation, places of rest. And I just felt like the Lord said, you're carrying a dwelling place anointing. And brother, when we were talking over there, I kept hearing the Lord say that I'm unlocking the preacher in him. I'm unlocking the prophetic voice in him like never before. And for you, it doesn't come out, thus saith the Lord, or I hear the Holy Spirit saying. It comes out in wisdom. It comes out in truth. It comes out in heart. And I just felt like the Lord said, I've made you one who's publicly strong, but I've also made you one who's privately sensitive. And I feel like there's been moments, even in the last few weeks, where you've just actually gone to that place in God where tears began to flow. It was almost like you were in the place of overload, sensory overload, with the things you were seeing. But I felt like the Lord said that what you're doing in this next season is a setup for things to come. It's a setup for things to come. And brother, I just felt like the Lord said, sooner than you think, quicker than you know. Sooner than you think and quicker than you know. I feel like this is not only going to be a season of destiny for you, but also for the desires of your heart. Desires of your heart being fulfilled. And some things you're like, Lord, this has been a long wait. And the Lord said, better to wait than get a counterfeit. Better to wait than get a lookalike. Better to wait than accepting a might could be. And Lord, right now, I just declare that, Lord, these next 3 months are going to be nothing short of miraculous for him. Nothing short of miraculous for him. But there's about to be an angelic visitation for you. You've been carrying gear. You've been dropping gear. You've been going ahead. You've been setting up. You've been all of these things. I felt like the Lord said, you're about to learn logistics of the Spirit. I just kept hearing the Lord say, special delivery. God's about to give you Holy Spirit logistics in the days that are ahead. But I thank you for the season of angelic visitation in Jesus' name. Brother, I felt like the Lord said that this is going to be a time where the Lord is about to give you a new set of wings. I kept hearing the words eyes and wings, eyes and wings. And what I saw was you're about to see the Lord like you've never seen him before. And you're about to see yourself through his eyes. And there is this humility and this grace in you. That it's like your voice is enormous when you sing, but there's been a part of you that's been soft-spoken. And the Lord says, son, I'm about to amplify the voice of God in you. I want to amplify things. And I was just watching you just engage tonight and kind of be in the backup and all of that. And I felt like the Lord said that this was a time where you're going to actually hear the voice of heaven. You're going to hear what heaven hears. You're going to hear the sounds of heaven. And I saw the Lord with a key unlocking something. He said, he's unlocking a new dimension of dreams for you. And I feel like there's this invitation not to just have dreams about God, but actually to dream with God. And I feel like that the Lord wants you to just jot things down, no matter how ridiculous or personal or big they seem. He wants you to begin to dream again. And I feel like you're going to create a dream list for 2018. And you'll look back a year from now and you'll say, the Lord has done what he said. The Lord has done what's in my heart. And brother, I'm just telling you right now that there is an anointing of impartation that you're carrying. You're not just carrying the voice of worship, you're carrying the heart of worship. You're not just carrying the heart of worship, but you're actually carrying the character of the one that you worship. I kept hearing one word that was so strong above everything else while you were worshiping tonight: character. And Lord, I thank you that character is the container that carries the glory. In Jesus' name. Will you just stretch your hands toward this amazing team? Lord, we just release blessing and rest to them. Lord, let it feel effortless to them. Let them sleep and come to a place of rest tonight. Refresh their bodies, Lord. We just ask right now that you would come and you would release a supernatural deposit of blessings over their lives. That, Lord, even before they would leave northern Minnesota on Monday morning, that they would hear miracle testimonies of things in Austin and things in Kentucky and things in India, things that have been happening over the last few months. I just kept hearing the Lord say, it's the season of the good report. It's the season of the good report. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. I think we're in a season of significance. I think some things can only be found in hiddenness. And some things can only be built out of brokenness. Don't despise the season of brokenness that some of you have come out of. And don't despise the place of hiddenness that it almost seems like you stay in that hidden place. If you know how to be hidden, you'll know how to be seen. Are you hearing me? If you know how to be hidden in God, then when he opens up the curtains of his heart for you to step on, that then people won't necessarily see you, they'll see him in you. Yeah. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah. Come on, I believe this, that this is a season of seeing the Lord. We're singing that song tonight. I don't want no other lover. You can have it all. You can take it all. Very intimate words tonight. And for some manly men, northern Minnesotans, singing about I love your face and I love your kisses is a little awkward, isn't it? But you better get over it because you're the bride of Christ. Are you hearing me? And I believe what you're hearing is actually the sound that is intimate and at the same time, still manly. There you go. Aren't you glad for the feminine anointing and the masculine anointing and how you could be the bride of Christ and still be manly and powerful, but at the same time being vulnerable? This is going to be a season of great vulnerability, transparency in the body of Christ. When we were singing that you can have it all, you can take it all, I was reminded of where I've been living lately in this place with the Lord that is at times very uncomfortable. So I think we're stepping into a season where we come into such a deep place of the presence of God that our flesh is going to start screaming. I believe we're stepping into that place where you encounter God in such a deep way, your flesh should start screaming, get me out of here, I don't belong here. Because your flesh is about to be consumed. Are you hearing me? Our God is an all-consuming fire. And there is a part that the Lord wants us to step into in his presence that is completely uncomfortable because we've never been there before. I think in order to navigate where God is taking us, we've got to realize that we must keep our eyes on the presence of God because we've never been this way before. Are you hearing me? There is a place that we are going that we have never been to. I like visiting things. I like remembering what God has done. Last night we talked about it a little bit. But there is this place that God wants to bring us into, this full-on adventure. As we were singing that song, I was reminded about where I've been living with God. And he asked me this question about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And the question was this, is what is in your life that you love more than me? What do you love more than Jesus? And don't give me no super spiritual answer like, he's my everything. He should be, but the fact of the matter, if we're honest, all of us have these things that at times become, that take center stage and push Jesus to the back. I think there's three things that stop moves of God in our life. The things I love, the things I doubt, and the things I fear. A couple of years ago in 2014, I was invited to do this conference in Melbourne, Australia with my friend Peter McHugh, who was here 2 years ago. He invited me to do this MORE conference with Bill Johnson. And I talked to my wife. She said, yes, I should go. As we got closer to the conference, my daughter was graduating high school and getting ready to move to college. And it turns out the day she was moving in, the weekend she was supposed to move into college, was the day I was supposed to be in Melbourne, Australia. And my wife asked me to change the plans, to cancel going. And I said, baby, this is Bill Johnson. Like, this is, you know, in the charismatic movement and renewal ministries, this is like the top of the food chain. It's taken me 14, 15 years to get here. And if I don't do this conference, it could take me 14 or 15 years to do it if that opportunity comes around again. And so I said, you know what? I said, I'm going. And so I'm going. And all the way up until the time she and my daughter dropped me off at the airport, she kept saying, you're not supposed to be going. We need you at home. The boys need you at home. Their sister's going off to school. And what I heard was simply this, fix it. Because I'm a fixer. I mean, I can't fix a car. I can't fix anything electronic. But I kind of know how to fix people. Right? I can fix circumstances and situations. And so what I thought was, I'll just fix it. And my wife didn't need me to fix it. She just needed me to be present. And I got on the plane. I went to Australia. And I saw miracles like I hadn't seen. And I'm preaching. And Bill Johnson's on the front row taking notes. Or doodling. Let's just say he was taking notes. And we've known each other, but we're really connecting on this trip. And at the end of the conference, he sends me a text message on his way to New Zealand. Hey, will you come to the Bethel conference in February 2016? And I have arrived. I have arrived. I'm going to preach with Lisa Bevere, Chris Vallotton, Bill Johnson at Bethel. The kid who started prophesying on green carpet in that room over there has now got one of the biggest platforms in revival or renewal ministries. I'm just setting the stage for you a minute. And God moves and miracles happen and the conference ends and I go on to the next city and I'll never forget, I'm in Barrie, New South Wales, a little country town that makes Thief River Falls look like a booming metropolis. They don't even have a McDonald's. Or a Walmart. Come on, you don't know how blessed you are. And God shows up and like 30 people got saved that night and deaf ears were opening up and I was so excited and I laid in bed that night. I called home and Molly was getting on the plane to fly from Nashville back to Pensacola. And she said, I don't really want to talk to you right now. I don't know if I want to be married to you right now. I've never worried about you cheating on me with another woman. But she said, my worst nightmare has come true. Ministry has become your mistress. And I think you're a narcissist. Now, I had to look that up. I didn't even know what that meant. It's not fair when our wives use big words on us. And what a narcissist is somebody that gets off. He gets fed by the accolades like, oh, Dave Wagner, that was such a great word. That's what I love about northern Minnesota. You don't cough up the compliments very well. Be the best speaker. You're still waiting in line for Darla's buns. I love you, Darla. Your buns are sweet. They're actually bread, Rick. I know you're wondering, and you're going to find out right now. There's heaven in this place, the bread of heaven. was named Arliss Buns. They're going to be world famous. And so I look, you know, you get off on the accolades of people, and I didn't like that very much. And I hang up the phone, and I don't know if I have a marriage to come back to. I don't know what this thing is going to do to my life, to my kids, to my marriage, to my ministry. And I remember being in this place, and I'm laying in bed, and I say, Lord, you said, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So what happened to her? I hope you're not watching, baby. Lord, block every cell phone. And I'm laying there and I'm crying out, God, fix her, fix her, fix her. And he said, I don't need to fix her. I need you to fall in love with me all over again. What if our only assignment on this planet is to fall in love with Jesus all over again? What if that's the key to cities and nations? And what if that is the key to making Jesus irresistible? Is that my only assignment is not getting another message. It's not releasing another prophecy. It's not doing another song and a dance or another conference. But simply my life exists to fall in love with Him all over again on a daily basis. You will not go beyond until you fall in love with Him all over again. You will not go any further unless you go deeper in love with Him. Until He becomes your everything, and unless He breathes on you, you're dead. And unless He provides for you, you have nothing. Unless He touches you, there's nothing you can do. And I'm telling you that God is bringing us into a place where we cannot rely on our gifts. We cannot rely on our talents. We cannot rely on what we've known as common, what we have known as church as usual. But we only have one assignment. It's to fall in love with Him all over again. And I realized something. My wife was right. I think I loved ministry more than I loved Him. I think what happened is I started working for Him instead of working with Him. I think my whole existence was based on whether pastors and people liked me. And if as long as I stayed in the line and prayed for people to 3 a.m, and you said, wow, that was so accurate and so wonderful. Listen, you cannot give an accurate word without Him anyway. Do you understand that? Without Him, I'm dead. Without Him, I'm nothing. Without Him, I'm just flesh and bone. And there has to come a place where He has to become your everything or He is nothing to you. If He's not your everything, then He's nothing. I realize this, that He is not a God of mixture. He doesn't want me to mix my opinion with His word. He doesn't want to mix my emotions with His holiness. He doesn't want to mix my flesh and the spirit. There's a reason why oil and water can't work together. Are you hearing me? And this is a season where God is coming, and there is a new awareness to holiness, not as legalism, not as a list of do's and don'ts, but as a grace on our life. That there comes a place where I don't give out of obligation, but I give out of adoration. That I don't minister because I'm obligated to get on a plane and to come to Thief River Falls, Minnesota, the third weekend in November every year. But this is my reasonable act of worship. I don't know where you were when He found you. But I was miserable. I was dead. I was tormented. I was fearful. I was schizophrenic and alcoholic and with no hope. And He came into the place where they said He couldn't come, in the midst of a mental hospital, in the midst of an ICU unit. And the Lord came and revealed Himself to me. The very first encounter I had with God was love. And when your first encounter with God is love, how can you find yourself in a place of falling out of love with Him? But yet it's where I was, in all honesty. Oh, the gift worked great. And as long as I was ministering and I was prophesying and preaching, I felt really good. But bring me to the house, bring me to the hotel room. And it was miserable. I just lost Pastor Ballinger, my spiritual dad. I just lost three of my biggest supporters. I just walked through difficult things and physical things going on in my own life and body. And the only time I felt normal was when I had one of these microphones in my hand. And then I realized something. He didn't call me for the microphone. He didn't call me just to minister to people. He called me to be His first love. He called me to fall in love with Him all over again, to make Him my main ministry. I've got news for you. The worship team doesn't exist to bring you in. The worship team exists to worship to the Lord. I'm looking for the day where the worship team doesn't look out at the congregation, but the worship team actually turns its back and just focuses on God. I don't care how anybody else is responding. I don't care if they're lifting their hands. I don't care if they're engaging God. This isn't about people. This is about the God of the people. And unless you come, we might as well shut the doors. And he said, you don't need me to fix her. You need to fall in love with me. And if you fall in love with me all over again, she'll fall in love with me all over again. And he took me on this journey of learning how to love my wife well. And he said, for the next 37 days, I didn't understand. He just said, next 37 days, I want you to write 10 things you love about your wife. Some of them were her beauty. Some of it were, you know, something cool and sexy. Some of it was, come on, somebody. Some was about her eyes, her hair, you know, all of those things. And I got to the end of the 37 days, and it was almost like Molly and I had come back into a honeymoon period. And I said, Lord, why 37? He said, because now you have 370 affirmations for your wife, one for every day of the year and five for grace. See, the Lord knows what He's doing. Here's where I'm going with that. Isaiah 6, 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Some scholars think that Uzziah was actually Isaiah's cousin or his uncle. Isaiah had an amazing ministry. He got to minister to the king. He ate the king's food, drank the king's wine. He had all the access he needed to every person and thing of influence. Whatever he said, the king would hear his word and he would apply it to the nation. He would apply it to his life. He had a cushy job. He had the best job in the profiting business. It was profitable for him. It was comfortable for him. You know what happened? Read the first five chapters of Isaiah, and there's a theme there. Here's the theme. Woe is you, woe is you, woe is you, woe is you, woe is you. Woe is you, 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 woe, 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 woe. Bad country song if you play it backwards. Woe, 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 woe is you. It's all about woe is you. It's all about woe is you. But in the year that King Uzziah died, let me paraphrase. In the year that everything else I trusted in died, I saw the Lord. In the year that every crutch was removed, I saw the Lord. In the year that every idol and every mentor and every father and every source of encouragement, in the year that every bit of resource was removed, when everything else died, I saw the Lord. What's interfering? What's the film over your eyes that's keeping you from seeing Him as He really is? Here's what I think. I think we like ideas of God. We all have our favorite personalities of God. I like Jesus, the gentle shepherd, because when I'm broken, He puts this little lambie on His shoulder and walks with Him. I like Jesus, the healer, because when I'm not feeling so well, He touches my tummy. I like Jesus as Savior because I was a mess. And He saved me from my sins and He gave me the hope of heaven. I love to picture Jesus as the Lamb because He's so gentle and meek and mild. And I forget sometimes that the Lamb is also the Lion. The Shepherd is also the soon coming King. That He's not just my friend, but He's all powerful and the ruler of the universe. And unless I see Him for who He really is, I will never see me as I really am. Because the way I see Him is the way I'll see me. Are you hearing me? You will not have a good understanding or a reflection or an identity of who you really are unless you see Him. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In the year that everything else I hoped for, in the year that everything else I lived for, in the year that all of the accolades died, in the year that it seemed like my marriage was dying, in the middle of when my kids went crazy, in that year, I saw the Lord. And when you see Him, everything will change. How did He see Him? High and lifted up. Come on, some of you right now, you need a new upward vision. If you really want to go above and beyond, you need to start looking up. Look past the drama. Get past the trauma of life. Get past and just begin to see the Lord. I wonder what would happen if we would just stop looking around and wondering what's going on with you and what's going on over here and what's this church doing. And no, I don't need to know any of that. I just need to see the Lord. Because if I see Him, I will get a proper perspective of what's happening down here. I think if we looked up and saw the Lord, gossip would stop. Division would end. That I wouldn't see this church or the church down the street or the other six in town, but I would just see the Lord. And as long as we were seeing the Lord, it didn't matter what name was on the door or what our tradition was. But we would see Him, and when we saw Him, we would become like Him. In the year that everything else I trusted in died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. I used to picture that as like this huge robe, this huge wedding dress kind of thing, filling an entire room. I think that'd be pretty cool. But as I studied it out, this is what I discovered. That it says that His robe filled the temple. That word is the same word for hem of His garment. I don't think you're hearing me tonight. Just one hem, one thread from the robe of God, one thread, one hem of His garment could fill His whole room. That's how big He is. Some of you right now, you need to grab a hold of the thread of His garment. You need to understand that the train of His robe is filling the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face. With two He covered His feet. And with two He flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." You ever notice angels have one song? Holy, holy, holy. Do you think angels get bored singing it? I was just having a conversation with God. I'm like, "Lord, how come they only sing the same song?" He said, "Because they don't have your song. You have the song of the redeemed. That's a song that they don't know. It's a song they'll never be able to sing." I said, "Did they ever get bored singing, 'Holy, holy, holy'?" He said, "No." And He said, "Watch this." And He showed me the vision of how the angels would cover their eyes with their wings, and two they flew, and two they covered their feet, and they would open their eyes, and they would say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory." And then it would be too much for them, and they would close, they would cover their eyes again. And then they would open, their wings would open, and they would open their eyes again. And they would cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." And I said, "Lord, why do they do that?" And He said, "Because every time they open their eyes, they see another dimension of My glory they've never seen before." And some of you right now, God wants to open your eyes to a new dimension of His glory. He wants you to see Him. I know sometimes we sing the same songs, the same choruses. We have the same catchphrases. But I'm telling you, when you really see the holiness of God, you see Him for who He is, in that purity and in that greatness and in that ginormous way that He is, it will change everything. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. I have an expectation that every time we gather tonight, tomorrow morning, that there could be a sound released in this place that joins with the sound of heaven, that the posts of this church would begin to shake. That smoke would fill the building. That Rick Pino would not be able to worship. That I would not be able to preach and prophesy. Because the Lord, the glory of the Lord is filling the temple. There's coming a day, my friend. And something happened when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He got that new upward vision. But the next verse is this. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone. It was no longer woe is you, woe is you, woe is you, woe is you. But it was woe is me. He got a new inward vision. He stopped trying to pull the splinter out of somebody else's eye and he saw the plank in his eye. He stopped trying to fix everybody else and said, Lord, unless I become like you. Unless I encounter your, unless you, God, you change me or kill me, there is nothing else I can do. Woe is me, I am undone. What if our assignment was this? We got so undone, we could never get redone. Let it be, God. Let it be that in Thief River Falls, Minnesota, there are a people that live undone. Their hair is a mess. I want to live like that pastor in Kentucky with a shower. I want to live like that guy that says, I'm not leaving until God changes me. I'm not leaving until the presence of God accomplishes, until He is the first place, until we fall in love with Him. I'm not going anywhere. It may be a dreamer thing. It may be a worshiper thing. But I read a story about a man named Philip Cameron in Scotland. He had a Bible college and they were stepping into a season of prayer and fasting. And as they were in the place and they were just worshiping the Lord, angels came and filled the room. Angels came and surrounded. And it's documented even in the local newspapers that for 7 days and seven nights, nobody moved. Nobody ate, nobody drank, nobody went to the bathroom. Nobody left the building because God came. What will you do when God comes? What will you do when He shows up and He causes you to be so undone? Now, I believe there's a move of God coming that's going to be really, really messy. Now, if you think that there is some predictable move of God coming, that He's going to show up and we're going to get goosebumps and we're going to fall on the floor again and get up again and God knock me down again so I can get up again and get another word and get another. It's not going to be like that. I think some of us are going to walk out of here with our hair messed up, if you have hair. Shakaramasa taramasa. I think there's coming a day where your suit's going to get wrinkled and your tie is going to feel like a noose. I gave all my tithes and offerings. That was free. Just receive it right now. Woe is me. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, listen, something happens. He comes into proper alignment. He falls in love with the Lord all over again. He sees the Lord high and lifted up, not minimized and churchyized. He sees the Lord not in a little picture of Jesus in the office. He sees the Lord not in a statue or in the small way that a pastor presents on a Sunday morning, but he really sees the Lord. Can anybody see the Lord and live? Moses cried out, Lord, show me your glory. And he said, no man has seen my glory and lived. Bury your face, put your face in the cleft of the rock. And the goodness of God passed over him. The goodness and the glory of God are connected. And I'm telling you, there is about to be a messy move of God that is married to the goodness of God and the glory of God. It begins with love and ends with love. And there's messy love in the midst of it that will actually draw a generation and a nation to itself, to himself. He sees the Lord, gets a new upward vision, a new inward vision. Coal comes to his lips. And the next thing is, he goes above and beyond. There's a conversation happening in heaven. Can you just get out of our feeble minds and thinking? And can you imagine this with me a minute? The Father, Son, Holy Spirit are having a conversation. Somebody quit. Somebody said, I can't go there. Somebody said, that's the preacher's graveyard. Somebody said, that they're the frozen chosen up there. Somebody said, they don't want to listen. They're happy in their little boxes. They're happy with this. And no, I don't want to do that, God. I want just a nice, cushy job. I want an hour and 15-minute church service. And I don't want any crazy meetings where people are coming. I want predictable Christianity, God. No, Lord, I'm not going there. It's too hard. No, I don't have the money. No, I don't have the team. No, God, I don't have the ability and I can't talk right. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, having that conversation. Somebody quit. Somebody dropped the mantle. Somebody said, I'm not doing this anymore. Somebody said, I'm not going. I'm not going there. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, have this conversation. Who will go for us? And whom will we send? How did Isaiah hear it? He got caught up. He interrupted the conversation of heaven. I don't know about you. I want to live like that, that I am so close that I can actually feel his breath, that when there is a conversation and God has a question about who will go, even to the darkest places on the planet, I will say, you don't have to look any further, God. Here am I, send me. Well, you might die there. Here am I, Lord, send me. You might get beaten, stoned, thrown in prison. Here am I, Lord, send me. Because, Lord, you're worth the sentence. You're worth dying for. You're worth living for. This glorious gospel is too good to keep to myself. What will happen? Will you be one of those who goes up to interrupt the conversation of heaven? He got a new outward vision. It was no longer about his little circle of influence. It was no longer about woe is you or woe is me. It was about living undone and having his heart broken for what God's heart was broken for. And he got a new outward vision. He saw the world through the eyes of God. He saw the drunk downtown Thief River through the eyes of God. He saw the guy getting out of Sanford Behavioral Health with mental issues through the eyes of God. He saw the Native American and the Native Canadian through the eyes of God. He began to see the people that betrayed him, lied about him, left him through the eyes of God. Something happens when you step into that year that everything else dies. I'm telling you right now. Some of you have been through a season of purging. I'm not trying to be rhymey tonight. The last season was about the purge. This next season's about the surge. there's a power surge. There's a tsunami of His love. There's a tsunami of the presence of God that's coming. It's a season to be transformed. Something happens when you see the Lord. If you want to see you, see Him. Come on right now. Jesus is in the room tonight. He's in the room tonight. I don't want to drag this out. But there is a falling in love with Him all over again. What do you love more than Him? What do you love more than Him? Do you love that 401k more than Him? Do you love the career more than Him? What if God's bringing you to the edge? What if He's bringing you to that place of give it all, sell it all? See, I don't think we're in this place where we can straddle the line here. I'm going to do a couple things and it's going to make me feel like I'm doing something for God. And after that 2-week commitment is over, I'm going to kind of live, you know, I'm going to live over here. I think God's looking for a people who are all in. What I love about my friend Rick, he's all in. What I love about Jake, he's all in. He's crazy, but he's all in. He starts talking. Half the time, I don't know what he's talking about, but it moves me, so I'm all in. I know it's going to cost me, but I'm all in. Adam Jacobson. God didn't just bring you here on a getaway or for family or for a trip for you and Porter. He brought you here to bring you on a divine collision with destiny again. And I felt like the Lord said, the season of isolation has come to an end. And I feel like the enemy's just tried to isolate you, tried to isolate Nikki, tried to isolate the kids. And I'm not talking about having to move from where you are. But God's about to build community around you. And I feel like there's been this place, this void on the inside of you, like, Lord, where do I fit? And He's about to satisfy the longing for belonging in you again. And I felt like the Lord said He's taking the whip or the belt out of your hand. And I feel like you've been in a season of beating yourself up. You've been in that place of would have, could have, and should have. But I felt like the Lord was clearing the playing field. And I felt like the Lord said that your destiny isn't behind you. It's still right in front of you. You didn't miss it. You're about to press into it. He knew what He was getting into when He called you. There's some things that only you can get away with saying. There's some people that only you can reach. And I just felt like the Lord was shattering something. And I said, Lord, what is it? And He said, the fishbowl of ministry. And I feel there was times where you were caught up in the fishbowl of ministry, that everybody saw you as Jake and Sandy's kid. And so why is He doing this? Why is He over here? Why is He? And they tried to hold you to a different standard than they would even hold their own kids to or their own selves to. And I saw the Lord breaking that off of you today. I heard the Lord say 2 things while I've been praying for you this afternoon. God's coming to heal your hope, and He's coming to heal the hope of calling. You got one of the most amazing smiles and personalities I've ever met. The gift you have on the drums, the gift you have in ministry, God's about to stir up on the inside of you again. Come on, there's a ministry on the snowmobile. I saw you on the snowmobile, and the Lord said, that's one of my favorite places with you. I love watching you act crazy. I love watching you go to extremes. I love watching you try to break through the limits. And I just really felt like the Lord in this season is about to bring you and your family into the place of destiny in greater capacity than ever before. Come on, you're about to fall in love with Him all over again. And I just believe right now, Adam, that God brought you here to bring you in a place of new beginnings. There's new beginnings coming. There's new beginnings right now. Behold, He stands at the door and knocks. And He said, more than anything, you need to hear these words. You did not miss God. You did not miss God. Because He's too big to miss. He's too big to miss. That pioneer song. I believe the reason God had Rick sing it tonight was for you. Because you're about to rediscover that pioneering heart, that pioneering spirit in you. Lord, I pray right now that You'd bring him into a place that he will not be satisfied until he has all of you. The season of wrestling with God is over. You can't make him change his mind. The words that you got when you were a kid, the words you got in your 20s, the words you got on your wedding day, the words you and Nikki got over and over and over again, God's about to restore. There is a generation that will only respond to what you have to say, because it's real and not religious. It's experiential and not just exegesis and hermeneutics. There's a generation. God brought you to a place that's physically beautiful, but spiritually dark on purpose. Because you're about to shine the light. You're about to see miracles among the Mormons. God's about to give you words for New Agers. I saw guys at work having one or two too many. And they're going to come to you and say, man, I can't keep living this way. I need God to show up in my marriage. I need God to show up in my family. I need God. There's something different about you, Adam, and I need the God that you carry. People always question the crowd you ran with. But here's the truth. They're the same people Jesus would run with. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus was a friend to the guy that was down and out. Jesus was a friend to the man who was a mess. And I'm telling you right now, the Lord's about to restore the joy of salvation, Adam. He's going to play a song too, right there, just... I just had to work with that. Lord, I thank you for my friend right now. There's a Holy Spirit lifeline coming to you, man. The Lord is throwing you like a life ring in the Spirit. And this is more than just family weekend, more than just coming for the conference. This is about destiny for you. There's an appointment for destiny with you. Lord, I thank you for Nikki, Lord, back in Idaho. Lord, I thank you for the angel of awakening. Lord, stirring up her spirit again, that prophetic voice on the inside of her. Lord, I declare some people shout it from the rooftop. She's about to sing it and shout it from the mountaintops. And Lord, I thank you right now for the visitation coming to her, the dreams that are about to be renewed. Lord, I thank you for Roman, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the pastor's heart in Roman. Come on, you've seen it in him from the time he was little, that pastor's heart in him. God's about to really stir up that pastoral heart. He's about to stir up the worshiper in Jewel. I saw Jewel just singing and dancing and worshiping all over the place. And Porter, I felt like the Lord said, I've made him your compassionate one. And what I feel is that he always tries to be strong and hang with the big dogs, but He's going to cry big tears. It's going to have nothing to do with being over emotional or weak, but God's going to borrow his emotions. And I'm telling you that, Porter will laugh prophetic laughter and he'll cry prophetic tears. And people are going to be healed by his compassion and passion. And Jesus, right now over Adam, Lord, I ask that, Lord, these next 24, 48 hours would be some of the sweetest that he's had in your presence. It's interesting. I heard the Lord said he never does that. And I said, what? And he said, sleep in. It's like today, nothing could wake you up. And you almost felt bad about it. The key word there was almost. And I just felt like the Lord is about to bring you to that place of rest. From wrestling to resting. From wrestling to resting. In Jesus' name, Lord, I bless my friend tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. What's that called? Interruption. Here's where I'll end tonight. One of the greatest moments in God I think I've ever had happened in February in Melbourne, Australia. I was teaching in a school of ministry, about 40 students. 20 minutes into my teaching, I got hit in the chest with a paper airplane. Now, I've taught high school and middle school, and I would expect that. So I did what I would do when I taught high school and middle school. I ignored it, because if you ignored it, it would go away. I tried to ignore it. This paper airplane's laying on the floor. And all of a sudden, as people are giggling, a voice from the middle of the room said, Mr. Wagner, aren't you going to read that? Everybody's just laughing. I said, read what? He said, God told me, he gave me a word for you and told me to send it to you airmail. Nobody told me Josiah had Asperger's disorder. Asperger's made him say things, throw things, do things that most of us would find weird or abnormal, but for him, it was very normal. It made sense. God gave him a word, and that word was supposed to be given to me airmail. So what better way? Write out a prophetic word, make a paper airplane, and throw it at the guy teaching. And I read this beautiful word. I read this word about what the Lord was saying about me and my family and the season, about schools and all these amazing things that I'm living in right now. And I thanked him for it, and I got into my message about 20 minutes further into my teaching, and JoJo interrupts again. He said, Brother David, other than Jesus Christ himself, who's the most significant person on the planet? And I thought that I was going to start giving an answer, and Jesus said, tell him he is. And I said, Josiah, other than Jesus Christ, you're the most significant person on the planet. And I watched tears stream down this face of an amazing young man. And he just started saying these words, I'm significant. I'm significant. I'm significant. And every time he said it, it was like the Lord was pulling a label off of him. Asperger's and autism and awkward. And a new phrase, a new word got put on him. It created this opportunity to look every student in the eye and tell them, other than Jesus Christ, you're the most significant person on the planet. It provoked me to start praying this prayer. I pray it every day. I prayed it this morning when I got up. I prayed it this evening before I came. I prayed it while we were worshiping. Here's my simple prayer. Jesus, come interrupt. Come disrupt so you can instruct. Because most likely you don't need a message, you just need a moment. Most likely you don't need another sermon. You just need an encounter with God. But I'm telling you right now, this season is about to be filled with divine interruptions. And I pray God would just come and interrupt your day. I pray He comes and interrupts every service. I pray that He comes and disrupts not only the plans of the enemy, but my feeble-minded plans that think I've got it all figured out. God, come interrupt. Come disrupt. You know what I've realized? God will stop everything for one. And I know Adam. And I know he's the pastor's son. But I also know that he's the one that God, if God would have just thrown a conference for one person, for Adam, He'd have done it for him to come interrupt and instruct and disrupt so that somebody could see the Lord. So somebody could see the Lord. And I think sometimes we've got this thing all wrong where we've got this big scale conference, and if we could rent out this big room and we can gather this many people. But it's really as simple as just being the one who stops for the one that loves people to life. That, come on, people aren't an inconvenience. His presence isn't inconvenient. If I could give you one word tonight, it's get ready for divine disruptions. Let Him come interrupt. Let Him come ruffle your feathers. Some of you got prophetic words over your life and you're so ticked off about them. Some of you are ticked off because everything was going great until you got the word. Because nobody told you, Hebrews 10:32, that after the illumination you enter into the fight of affliction. So you got the word and you went to sleep and you thought the next morning when you woke up it was coming to pass. 17 years later, you're still in the fight of affliction. I talked to a guy yesterday. He said, man, you gave me that word in August. I was so ticked off. It's not what he said. He said, I'm pissed off. I'm in northern Minnesota. I can get away with that, I think, Jake. Sandra says I can, so. Something about just a way of life on the farm. I don't know, but. He said, I was just so mad because you gave me this word, and this word was, I've been serving as a son, and I'm seen as a son, and I'm doing as a son. And he said, I'm just this guy that I work for, hireling. He doesn't see me as that. Nothing I do is ever good enough. And he said, I was mad at you. For 3 months, I've been mad at you. So nice to know. I took you fishing in that time. You didn't tell me you were mad at me then. Put you up in a nice hotel on the beach. You didn't tell me you were mad at me then. Now 3 minutes, 3 months later, you're over it. You're going to tell me you were mad at me. He said, I was so mad at you. And he said, I got to this place last week. And I said, either David sees something I can't see, or he is the biggest false prophet I've ever met. And I thought, man, I thought we were friends. And the Lord just said it to him. He said, oh, son. You've been looking it through your little feeble mind and your little feeble eyes. You thought it was the way that the guy that you work for was looking at you, but I wasn't talking about him. I was talking about me. I was telling you the way the Father sees you, and I've seen you working for this guy, and it hadn't been easy, but you've been working as my son. And I'm about to empower you as my son. And all of a sudden, he said, it all made sense. And God is about to bring us into this place of perception of seeing the Lord. Come on, I believe right now in this moment. I don't need to keep going. I don't need to ramble on, although I could, and it would be good. Here's what I saw tonight. So I was praying over Adam. I saw this in the room concerning the promises of God for you. I saw him erasing every question mark and in its place putting an exclamation point. And some of you right now, you're about to step into that season of divine exclamation. The exclamation points of heaven. Let me just bring it back full circle. What do you love more than Him? What do you love more than Him? When my world came crashing down, the enemy came in like a flood, and sometimes I feel sorry for the stupid devil because he only has the same tricks. But he said, oh man, this is a mess. You either can have ministry or you can have your marriage. And really, if you lose your marriage, you'll probably lose your ministry too. And I felt like he had me right where he wanted me. And I realized that I'm going to have to fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with my wife all over again. I'm going to have to cancel some meetings. I ended up having to call Bill and Heidi and others and say, I need to take a month off. And the enemy would tell me these words. He would say, they won't understand that. Nobody understands what you're going through. This is on you, man. And you do that, this whole thing's a sinking ship. Jake knows what I'm talking about. I spent hours with him weeping. And I had to call people and I had to say, Heidi, I can't do this conference. And Bill, I can't come out here at this moment. And what I found was something completely different. They didn't say, well, see, we'll call you again in 20 years when you get it together. They said, we'll do whatever it takes. We'll fly you wherever you guys need to go. We'll get you healed. We'll get you whole. We'll do all of that. And they still let me Skype in for some reason into their Revival Alliance network. And I still got to prophesy to all those guys on Skype. And at the end, Suan Cheon's wife said, oh, poor David. You've got this thing all wrong. And I thought, I don't feel edified, exhorted, comforted, or strengthened right now, Sue. Thanks. Oh, poor David. You've got it all wrong. You got sucked up into the stair step. And you got Jesus up here and Molly here and the kids here and ministry here and fishing here and the Cubs here and she said, it never works like that. She said, if you put Jesus in the center, then everything will flow. And here's where I believe there's a recalibration. There is a new compass that God's giving us set on true north. And that's Jesus in the center and life flowing out of it. Into marriage and into ministry and into family and into business and into enjoyment and into all of those things. When something shifted tonight. Last couple days have been great. But there was a shift tonight in worship. There was breakthrough tonight in worship. And it was to reset some things. The Lord is resetting some things. Some of you right now, get your eyes off your ex and see the Lord. Get your eyes off of your circumstance, your situation, your job, and see the Lord. Get your eyes off of your narcissism and see the Lord. Get your eyes off of your ministry and see the Lord. Get your eyes off of everything else until He is the only thing that remains. Jesus, we want to see You tonight. Just close your eyes with me. I had another message. It was going to be really great. You were going to shout me down. It was going to be wonderful. But I felt like the Lord said, go here tonight. Because we don't get this, we won't get what's coming later on. We won't get what's coming tomorrow. Are you all in tonight? Seven of you are all in. Are you all in tonight? Come on, right now. I want to be all in. I don't want to have a plan B. I don't want to have provision for failure. I don't want to have something to go back to. It's either Jesus or it's Jesus. I have nothing to fall back on unless it's Jesus. I have nothing to trust in unless it's Jesus. I have nothing to provide for me unless it's Jesus. I have nothing that can heal. Right now, everything is stripped away, and it's either Jesus or it's Jesus. And I felt like the Lord right now was just, I saw a shredder. And I just heard the sound of paper going through the shredder. And he said, I'm shredding people's plan Bs tonight. Lord, shred every place, everything that wants to go back to something that doesn't even exist anymore. You can either go back or you can go beyond. And you can choose tonight. Some of you feel stuck, and you can either go back or you can go beyond. If I'm talking to you, you'll say, Dave, I want to be honest tonight. I've got some plan Bs. I'm the first one here tonight saying, God, shred my plan B. If I'm talking to you, you say, God, I need you to get rid of my plan B tonight. I just want you to stand to your feet. Lord, right now, there's nothing we could do to get you to change your mind about us. There's nothing we can do to get you to change your mind about destiny and purpose and promise. Come on, lay plan B. See yourself laying plan B on the altar. But Dave, you don't understand. It's just hard. I know it's hard, but hard's not bad. It's just hard. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. Hard's not bad. It's just hard. You understand? My marriage is bad. No. It's not bad. It's just hard. Come on right now. I feel like the Lord is in this room and he's just doing business with our hearts tonight. Some of you question, well, what if this ministry thing doesn't work out? What if this United Team thing doesn't work out? What if this church thing doesn't work out? What if this prophecy thing don't work out? What if this plan of my life doesn't work? Come on, get rid of the plan B. Because if you have something to fall back on, you'll fall back on it. Are you hearing me? If you have something to fall back on, you'll fall back on it. We were singing it tonight, I surrender all. We weren't singing, I surrender some. Are you hearing me? We weren't singing, I surrender some. I surrender all, God. I surrender all so that I could see the Lord high and lifted up. Come on, if you'll see the Lord high and lifted up, then Thief River Falls will see the Lord high and lifted up. If you see him high and lifted up, then this North Country will see the Lord high and lifted up. If you see the Lord high and lifted up, come on. In order to see him like that, I've got to get rid of plan B. In the year that my plan B died, I saw the Lord. In the year that everything else and everyone else I trusted in, I saw the Lord. In the year that Lindell Ballinger died, I saw the Lord. In the year where it felt like my marriage died, I saw the Lord. In the year it looked like everything was empty, I saw the Lord. In the year where my body was sick and I couldn't function, I saw the Lord. In the year I was so beat up, I didn't know which way was up and which way was down, I saw the Lord. In the year that the millionaires died that supported my ministry, I saw the Lord. In the year that it felt like my gift died, I saw the Lord. In the year my dad died, I saw the Lord. In the year it seemed like my dream died, I saw the Lord. And Jesus, I'll bring it back. Lord Jesus, you're worth it. Jesus, you're worth it. Jesus, thanks for stripping everything else away so that I could sing once again unashamedly, Lord, I love your face. I love your face, God. I love your face, God. In the year that everything else I loved more than you died, Lord, I saw the Lord and I love your face. Come on, right now. He's so close. Come on, let him kiss you. Don't resist him tonight. Well, I believe what I shared tonight is the key. It's a prophetic word to really go above and beyond. Holy Spirit, right now, Lord, would you cause us to be so undone? You know what I realized? He won't force me. But I actually got to choose to be undone. Come on, some of us got to stop apologizing for the move of God in our life. Stop apologizing and trying to explain the tears. And I quoted the words of my friend Paul Manwaring last night. He said, the world's starving for a demonstration, but we just keep giving them an explanation. Come on, God's moving us into a new season of demonstration. Come on, I want you just to begin to cry out to the Lord right now. Come on, some of you right now, you need to even just verbalize it. Lord, I choose to fall in love with you all over again. Lord, I choose to shred my plan B. I choose to give it up. I choose to lay it down. I choose to go deeper. I choose to go further. Nothing compares to you, God. Nothing compares to you. Nothing compares to you. There's no one like you. There's no one but you. You're all we have, God. You're all we have. You're all or you're nothing. It's that serious tonight, friends. He's all or he's nothing. Jesus, come as you really are. Jesus, come as you really are. Holy Spirit of God, move in this place. Move on us. I want to see you, God. Lord, tear down all of our idols. Burn up all of our idols today, God. Our money idols, our comfort idols, our family idols. Tear down my need to be needed idol. My affirmation idol. My pride idol. Strip me down, God, until the only thing that remains is you. The only thing that remains is you. He took me beyond remorse and took me into repentance. He took me past feeling sorry for myself and brought me to the mountain of change. I feel like right now, some of us are having heart surgery in the moment. The place where deep cries out to deep. God, circumcise my heart. Get rid of every mixture. Holy Spirit, come crash into this place tonight. When I feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but I'm telling you right now, there's a recalibration. There is a realigning. There's an alignment for the assignment that's in front of us. Come on, I don't know about you, but I want what he said. I don't know about you, but I want what I heard him say over me. I want what I heard him say over you. I want what I heard him say over Community Church and United Team. I want what he said over us individually. I want what he said over us corporately. More than wanting what he said, I just want him. Come on, if you have him, you have it all. Jesus, right now in this place. Lord, I thank you for your embrace around us. the embrace of God. In Jesus' name. Come on, would you just lift your hands high? Come on, come to that place of surrender. Only you know what you need to lay down. Only you know what you need to give up tonight. Come on, you make this your prayer tonight. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
I want you to hold out your hands like you're receiving a gift. But I want you to offer your life afresh and anew as if you are the gift. Come on, give yourself away tonight. Give yourself to Him. Holy Spirit, come crashing in on us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, we don't have to be all serious. Give God a shout of praise for what He's doing. Come on, there's freedom. Come on. There's freedom. There's freedom. Come on, there's freedom. Some of you are getting so free right now. Come on, that noose, that yoke of Plan B is being left behind. It's being broken off of you tonight. Come on, those things are, come on, we're leaving those things behind and we're pressing on ahead towards the mark. Come on, we're not going behind, we're not going back, we're going above, we're going beyond. Come on, Jesus, we choose you. We choose you, Jesus. Come on, say that with me. Jesus, we choose you because you're a perfect Savior and you know just how to love us. We trust you. Because your plan A is a whole lot better than my plan B. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, God bless you. Be seated just for a couple more moments. And